we have Catherine Cryer of Courtroom TV on our show today at attorneybusters.com, and we're going to be talking about The Case Against Lawyers. That must be an extremely thick book, Catherine, is it?
Well, not exactly, because I only skimmed the surface. This was trying to talk about the broad generic problem, and I'm working on the follow-ups to get more specific.
Well, I mean, this follow-up has got to be something along the lines of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Well, there's a lot to talk about because, you know, my feeling is that these sorts of problems are way beyond tort reform or, you know, single issue, but in fact the effect of law and the ability of lawyers to make and manipulate and selectively enforce our laws has done real damage to the American system.
You were a judge, weren't you?
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know from where you speak about what happens in these courtrooms, don't you?
Oh, I'd like to think so.
Well, because I would say that if you're part of a general public right now, if an individual comes out and makes the assertions that you've done, a case against lawyers, don't you get labeled as simply being some type of a radical here? Aren't you a sore, are you sure you're just not a sore loser, that you've just been treated badly by a court system?
This is a joke, right? I have had an amazingly wonderful career in the law. I was reelected to the bench unopposed. The reason I left the law is because I was offered the evening news with Bernie Shaw by CNN, which it was a pretty interesting career switch, but one I couldn't pass up. And I have continued to work with bar associations around the country and speak and lecture and continue my association with the law. The reason I wrote this book was because I do love the law, and I think it had a very noble purpose, and I think that those designed to guard it, the lawyers, had a noble purpose. Many of them still fulfill it, but many of them have really strayed off course, and that's what I needed to talk about.
How do your colleagues feel about this? And when I say your colleagues, not the colleagues close to you, isn't there a number of attorneys that simply refuse to stand up and talk about the issues and the things that you're talking about because mm-hmm. they fear reprisal from their
sure.
local brethren?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I've had a lot of lawyers say, you know, we know a lot of this stuff, but we just can't say it. And I'm free now to say it. And I'm in a position where I think I can make this conversation what it should be, and that is a much larger one for the public.
At attorneybusters.com, the premise of what I've been doing is trying to let individuals know that not all attorneys and not all judges and not all lawyers out there are bad.
No.
But what we need to do, I think, as a public now, is I think we need to stand up and give these people some basic ground fire and cover fire that will allow individuals such as yourself that have been brave enough and charismatic enough to come out and say something. Because if you did not have that microphone in your hand, if you were not there on Courtroom TV, it may be a difficult task for you to do this out there in the public. Don't you agree with that?
Oh, I think it would be difficult. It would be difficult to get attention to the topics. And wonderfully, I take seriously the opportunity I have to raise critical issues. And this was one that was in the forefront of my level of concern.
Catherine, I would say that if there's anybody that should be online to become the next president of the United States and the first woman president, I will tell you that you've got my vote.
And don't you throw me in the briar patch.
Because I would say that one thing, what you are doing is so needed. I would say that any individual that does not read your book is keeping themselves in the dark intentionally. Have you found that people tend not to want to address this issue because they want to believe that everything is just fine out there in our country today?
No. I think reason people don't want to address the issues is they're frustrated. They feel disaffected and disillusioned within our system, and they feel powerless much of the time. I have had so many people tell me how much they care about these problems, and of course their question is, but what can we do? And the system tends to beat us down and make us believe we can do nothing, that it's all out of our control. And that's a very effective tool to keep us passive, if you will.
Well, I think the Japanese have a saying for that. The nail that stands out gets hammered. I'm very surprised you don't have a whole bunch of knots on the top of your head.
Well, I do, but it wasn't from the book. just ask my mother. No, it's actually been great. Part of getting older, one of the things I have enjoyed the most, is the growing freedom to say what you believe and step out there and say to yourself, well, the world can't really hurt me. I can go to Wyoming and raise horses. I've got a cabin out there in the woods and I can go hide. But it really is a wonderful notion to say, now, it's the time in my life where I can speak out on these things and just not be so concerned if somebody says, I disagree.
What do we do about this issue? What is your recommendation? What do you see as a solution to the problems that we have out there? And when I say the problem, could you nail down the problem, and would you say that the non-accountability of judges and attorneys amongst themselves is one of the things that leads to the problems we have today?
Well, yes and no. I think it's more their accountability to the American people and the system that I find of concern, because you know, the Bar Association doesn't jerk a bunch of licenses from people. It's sort of like the medical boards. You know, we tend to take care of our own. So in terms of reviewing attorneys' work, it's not always the best. But I think it's much more a situation where we have abdicated. We have given over so much power to judges and courts and lobbyists and legislators, and it was ours to give away. And by not being more aggressive in our participation in the system, we let these guys make the rules, manipulate the rules, and selectively enforce the rules. And oftentimes it's for their friends or for their pocketbook and not for a higher cause, if you will.
One of the issues that I tend to bring out on the program is that there is a judicial canon of ethics that truly requires a judge to address the wrongdoings of an attorney inside of a courtroom. But when that judge does not follow those judicial responsibilities, this is where we have, I think, the basic deterioration that takes place. Because we've seen out here in California, where we're at, judges have seen attorneys that have actually suborned perjury and hidden documents. And when you try to press these issues before the judge, the individual bringing that out is the one that truly gets hammered by the judge instead of the attorney.
Yeah, oftentimes. And much of the responsibility can lie right there, because I was noted for not tolerating much of that when I was on the bench in Texas, and in fact made headlines in the Texas Lawyer Monthly magazine for sanctioning law firms and attorneys, not the clients, when this sort of misbehavior would take place. So yes, I agree with you that more judges need to do that, but how do we go about making that more possible? Well, we publicly fund the election of judges. We do not have them asking those very individuals for money that they will have to rule on later. It's just ludicrous. If we don't want to change our campaign finance rules for Congress, that's one thing. But the judges should not be raising money and should not run on a partisan ticket. So that's two of the changes that I would make immediately to affect that.
What truly is the premise of your book?
Well, it's the notion that we left King George, ran away, so that one individual or a small group of individuals couldn't control all of us. They couldn't say, this rule is going to apply to you, but it's not going to apply to my friends. You're paying the tax, but not my buddies. So we came over and created the rule of law, and the rule of law was going to be just and fair to all the American people. Well, what has happened is the lawyers, left to their own devices, along with legislators and lobbyists, now write those rules, just as King George did, often for their friends, for their own pocketbook and their own well-being, and then we are the ones that are having to obey them. And oftentimes they're not for the benefit of the American people, but simply that small group that is becoming as tyrannical as King George.